Welcome to AAA2040.com, and saints, let's get into the word. Proverbs 18:21. Service was good for me just thanking him from the first 15 minutes. And that's real talk. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat from its fruit. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. And a poor man pleads for mercy, but a rich man answers harshly. And then it says, a man of many companions, too many friends. A man with too many friends may come to ruin. Too many friends. But there is a friend that I've come to know, and perhaps you have. His name is Jesus. And in this word, it says he sticks closer. Jesus sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. I want to talk about controlled and uncontrolled or unbridled power. And then I want to talk about loosing and binding. So we're basically have a little lesson about the polarities. Controlled, uncontrolled. Binding, and then what is the distinction between binding and loosing? And how you can become bound by loosing. Electricity is an awesome asset to a person's home and can be very beneficial to families. But that same element that can help you in a household, heat, food, comfort. It's really, we take for granted the conveniences that we have in our home because they're just always there. A side note about that is that when we walk into a room and the lights are off, because we're familiar with the dark area, we know where to go even in darkness to find the solution, to find light. It's not because we can see in the dark, but it's because we are familiar with our environment. And this is a season where you have to start learning to become familiar with your environment and the inhabitants of the environment. Then that way, in darker situations within a church or a company or family, you don't have to see your way out to know how to get to help. And because you know the positioning of where the lights are, you may not be able to see it, but you pretty much know the area approximately where it is where you touch the switch to turn on or flick the switch to turn on light so that you can see your way. But the side note is not so much about finding the switch of electricity in darkness just because of familiarity, but more so, I would have to go with the faith. Hear me, church, listeners. The faith we have to know the lights are going to come on because we paid a price. Based off what I have paid for. Even in dark situations, I walk into the darkness knowing that when I touch that switch, I've paid my price. The lights are going to come on. In that instance, if I take a bobby pin, which I did when I was 6 years old, and I placed it into a light socket. Some of you may be familiar with the song I had called Tippy, where I talked about sticking a bobby pin in a light socket and almost killed myself. And that's when I got wired. I really believe that. I haven't been right since. So I'm not the only one. Some of you take that telephone cord and put your tongue on the metal part and find that it stings. Okay, don't put your pastor out there like that. And you get there, and I've put a bobby pin in the light socket. I am invading a boundary with a tool that is not expedient nor lawful for me to do. But with another component, I could also put something into that socket and receive the benefits of the controlled power. So, basically, for 1 second, when we turn on and off the lights in our house, we have not controlled electricity. We have manipulated the electricity. The electricity was already going if you paid the price. But it's not enough to know you've paid the price and not know how to use what you paid for. And if the price was too high and you could not pay your price, you know how to function without it, but it's not convenient. Okay. Let me keep going. If the electricity turned us off and on, wouldn't that be something? It does. If it's too cold, it manipulates us out of our couch and bed and says, you need to turn me on because I know you're cold without me. When you feel that coldness in your walk, when you feel that loneliness, that is the power of God saying, get out of your couch, out of your bed, and come over to me because I know you need some fire in your life. When you do not channel the energy of the electricity through a conduit, the electricity has the power to do more damage than good. So more than, Lord, give me fire and anointing, Lord, make me a conduit that I am not consumed by the very power I prayed for. That same element that can help you see or become warm also has the power to destroy or cause major harm if it is uncontrolled. Having the ability to do something is not the same in using restraint, knowing what you can do and choose not to do. A lot of us have the power to hurt people because we know things. We remember things. Remembering is not the problem. It's what you are choosing to remember. Memory has never hurt anyone. It's the choice of which memories you choose to magnify which causes a physical manifestation, because the memory itself is virtual. Hear me, hear me, hear me. We are allowing virtual transmissions to cause the electrons in our brain, electrodes in our brain, to keep stemming back together things that God has unplugged. He has detached your spirit from. Between birth and 3 years old, that is the most important time for the brain through electricity. People don't know this, but the brain actually has voltage. It can actually be read. Our dreams can be read. Our thoughts can be monitored. So if we take these virtual remembrances and occurrences and keep allowing them to re-stem things that God has detached from, it starts to become callous and it becomes an establishment. So that every time something happens like this one, it reaffirms that connection to pain. Or that connection to the offense. And when God has turned the lights off of a situation, such as with my brother, it is up to us and to him not to allow our memories, the virtual memory, to re-stem, to re-insulate, to install, to procreate, to resurrect what God says is disconnected now. Now, what happens at this church is the Lord turned off your electricity and you grab an extension cord and find somebody 600 miles away to give them electricity when God done turned the light off of them. The favor's lifted. Well, I'll just use my neighbor's electricity. But that's not enough. It's still illegal. Because that's not your electricity and you didn't pay their price. Now not only are you in jeopardy, the person who helped you's in jeopardy because you assisted them with reestablishing electrodes and instances of the meshing of thought to come back together when God has shut it down. Words have the power to speak life and be a great help to the house of God, and in many ways can speak life into others. But if that gift of speaking into others' lives, especially those with gift of gab, some people sound good talking. Have you ever heard someone you just love to hear them speak because it's just their savoir-faire? Their essence is just, they're distinguished. And you just love to hear them speak. A lot of people, you know, Christians, you know, have a problem with Farrakhan, but he's someone that I actually love. He's a great orator. I love to hear him speak. I like the way he speaks. People don't like Carlton Pearson, but I like the way he speaks. He's intellectual. I like intellectuals. I like Dick Gregory. If you haven't heard of him, you need to go on YouTube and check him out. He's a comedian, but he's also a philanthropist. He's also a health activist. And he's been talking about things that are happening now 40 years ago. I like the way he speaks. So in that case, even if they're not in our faith, our religion, whatever it may be, whoever it may be, when someone is educated, you have to respect it. And it's good to hear how people deliver. They speak well. President Obama speaks well. He speaks well. So you don't mind hearing him speak. Bishop T.D. Jakes speaks well. I like the way he talks. I like the way he speaks. I like that. Joel Osteen is a great speaker. Lord, we just thank you today. We thank you right now, Father, for this service. You know, sometimes dogs bite us.
And it's up to us to decide in our heart, are we going to bite that dog back? Or are we going to show him the love of God? I choose to show that puppy God's love. I dare you to go home to your pet and show that puppy God's love today. And I promise you, everybody, hold up your Bible. This is my Bible. And I will not use it to slam my puppy down. But even the dogs get to eat from the master's table. Amen. Pray with me if you will. Great speaker. Great speaker. Sometimes hoop is cool, preaching is cool, charisma is cool, but sometimes just talking to somebody's spirit can make a difference. So words have power, and they come in different styles. As I grow and mature in Christ and as a young man and live life and go through things, everyone's swag changes. You may think this is all you do now. You may think this is who you are now. This is all you'll be now. But life will evolve you, and you will become a better speaker, a better person, and more importantly, a better listener. A better listener, which is an art, because some people don't want your advice. They just want your ear. Now, those same words can be used, if not controlled, to destroy a church, a reputation, esteem issues at this church, low self-esteem issues at this church, can only be repaired by saints affirming each other and not tearing each other down. We need more affirmations. Self-esteem here is a real issue, not just with youth. When you are constantly told how you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not light enough, you're not tall enough, you're not saved enough, you don't sing good enough, you don't write well enough, after a while you begin to expect what people don't like. And you begin to manifest something that people end up not liking. So our words have to now affirm people. Do less critique and more applause. I would rather you applaud something small than to make a big deal out of something small. Let me help you out. Men, if we get some bacon, metaphorically or actual bacon, and when we bring it home, we would like for someone to acknowledge that we could afford to get it. And we don't want to get credit for cooking it. We just want the acknowledgement that we did a good thing by bringing bacon home. Or we remembered the eggs. Because we're not detail-oriented. At least most of us aren't. But when we do remember the details that are required of us sometimes, we will be fine for months with just, good boy, you bacon, thanks. You'd be like, okay, did I do a good job? And I can get some more bacon if you want. All we need is just a little bit of acknowledgement, because the majority of a man's life is deadbeat dad, cheating on his wife, no good father, always in jail, never pay child. That's all we know. I believe if society would start raising up the standards for how we are to respect men, that men will do better when they feel better. But when they are perpetually told how horrible they are, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If that gift is not controlled and monitored, it can cause great damage, tear down the spirit, and bruise the soul, which is the emotions. Even in correction, the intent is not to bruise the emotion. I had to learn that, because you call yourself, look, I'm trying to help you. I'm putting this thing on your leg because I'm trying to help you, saint. And you don't understand how hard it is for me to put this cast on your leg. You don't appreciate the way I set them bones back in order. You don't appreciate me. I don't have to. I have health coverage. with as much as I'm paying, you need to bake me a cake after you do my checkup. I'm telling you right now, this is expensive. In other words, people are dealing with stuff outside of church. And if they know that they are in need of repair, it's not just your doctor, but the way the doctor reveals the information. Even if you are helping me, it's the way you're helping me.
Well, I need to get somebody in order, honey, because you know we stand up for righteousness and truth. And honey, there's a standard. There's just a standard.
Okay, well, does the standard include the way you correct people too? The words are not the problem, but it's the stank under the word. It's the way it's typed. It's the way it's said from the pulpit to the door. Words are powerful, and the church said amen. We must be cognizant of our co-workers and be affectionate towards them, which is why none of the departments are doing exceptionally well, because everyone wants to be able to say, I did this and it worked. And to make sure yours don't work, I'm going to shug on your project. No one told me nothing. I don't like hen mess. I don't like cackling hens gossip. But I know the nature, not of church, of people. Not the words, but the way the words are said. Does everyone have that concept down? All right, let's move on. And this is our last section. Binding and loosing. Now, I've heard a lot of binding by people who are bound. It doesn't work. And I heard a lot of loosing by people who are loose. That does not work. I loose it. Yet, but your loose lips are sinking ships in the church. That's not all you're loosing. You're loosing terror, assumption, insinuation. We should be binding and loosing something quite different according to how Jesus taught Peter. Go to Matthew 16 and 19. I'm going to show you. The spirit world, listeners in church, the spirit world is controlled by the word of God. You all trying to just bind and loose because you quoting a scripture or saying something popular and cute is not going to bind or loose anything. The spirit world is controlled by the word, because the world was formed by the word of God, not just by words. Man shall not live by bread or eaten the word alone, but by every word that proceedeth, which means God's still speaking. He didn't stop here. So the spirit world is controlled by the word of God, not just words. Oh, I thought you said we can't say this, and then the universe does it. No, I'm talking about the spirit world. We're not talking about the universe. We're not talking about karmic law here. We're not talking about galaxies and the stars and craziness. We are talking about the spirit world. Demons and angels. Good and evil. Spiritual wickedness in high places. The spirit world is controlled by the word of God, which is why the witches and the warlocks have not completed their assignment here, because I put the word on it daily. It will always suffocate. You're bound. You're bound. Not because of me. The word. I keep quoting the word. No weapon formed against this church will prosper. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is a strong church. The mighty church. Not this church. The church. The devil's after the church. Not this church. He's after the church. Matthew 16 and number 19. When you have it, say amen. Thank you for following along. 16 and 19, coming right at you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. 16 and 17. When you have it, Matthew 16 and 17, say amen. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man," I preached about this Sunday, "but by the Father in heaven." Verse 18, "And I tell you that you are Peter." He was Simon, the son of Jonah. But because who Christ was revealed by his Father in heaven, Jesus says, "I tell you," not ask you or suggest that your name should change. When God changes your character, he tells you, and it's done that instant. He says, "Your name is Peter." Also, Petra, P-E-T-R-A, rock. "And on this rock, I will build my church." Not on Peter, okay? Not on the meaning of his name or his spiritual pseudonym. No, no. What is that rock? That rock is Jesus. The fact that Peter answered, "You are the Christ," upon that concept, upon the concept that you understand that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, he is Christ, the living Son of God, that's what the church is built upon. That's why I preach Sunday, he is. We have to reinforce who God is, not what we are, not what's happening in church, not the beefs going on down the street, not what's on Facebook, not what's on email. He is. It's about Jesus. That's the foundation of the church, and it will not be rocked because we're on the rock. If we keep lifting up Jesus, he said, if I be lifted up, if we just come here and lift him up, if we just do that part, if we just get out of auxiliaries and departments for 3 minutes and lift up Jesus, everything will fall in place. When Jesus is the focus, I know y'all can help me out here. You don't care who does it as long as the job gets done and souls are brought into the kingdom. Period. All the other stuff is flesh and carnality and ego. Come on up here. It's pride. Control. The search of recognition. Man's accolades, because you have some void in your life that you think church people are going to validate. But when they applaud you, it's dangerous. It's 3 weeks later. Crucify him. Come on, church. Where's the focus at? Reel it back in. Because that's what the enemy wants you to focus on. Hone in on how you feel and your reasonings and what and how you were wrong so that the attention can be taken off of this cross behind me. If we keep going to the cross and keep singing towards the cross and keep preaching the cross, all this other stuff should not, I'm sorry, church, it shouldn't matter. Even money will come if we would just, if we quit focusing on needing it and praise God for it. Come on, church. Go to Psalms 1 and 3. These are our last four scriptures for this lesson. I hope it's blessing you here at the church and the listeners. This section of the lesson is on binding and loosing. Our previous section was about controlled and uncontrolled power. Psalms 1 and 3. When you have it, say amen. I don't, so let me say on me. All right. Okay. Psalms 1 and 3 talks about the planting, the foundation upon this rock of being rooted and grounded in the word. It talks about the establishment of what this means, why you cannot be moved. Okay. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit. It didn't say what month. Didn't I just tell y'all earlier in this lesson? He doesn't give a specific time. Even according to Jesus Christ, he doesn't even know when he's coming back. He says, "No, not I, but my Father only."
The angels in heaven don't know. I don't know. But my eternal spirit is the only one who knows when I'm coming back. So in that sense, he says, though, you can watch for the seasons. Jesus tells us to look at the leaves, the fig tree, look at the different signs of things that are obvious. Those are our signs. It's not the exact day, but it gives you a roundabout figure of what season in the spirit you are in. Okay? So if we go up just a little bit, it talks about why we don't have money. It talks about why we don't have favor. It talks about why we don't have peace at night. Because the only blessed person, Sister April, Sister Latisse, Sister Kathy, Mother McGowan, is the person who does not walk in the counsel of wicked, doesn't get advice from evil people. You can't get advice from folks that are evil at core, because the advice they give is to use you to manipulate the outcome they want, not what you want. The only way you're going to be a blessed person is if you don't stand in the way of sinners, become an obstacle for those who need to get to the cross, because you're making church about you. Or sits in the seat of mockers, people that make funny or smart comments towards people in leadership under their breath or in their spirit. You will not be blessed. But the person who's blessed is someone whose delight is in the law or the order or the boundary of the Lord and on his law. And he doesn't just read it, but he meditates on that, because some of these scriptures are so deep that you can't just say, oh, I read a verse and then move on to say, well, I put my time in, or I punched my clock in with the Bible. You have to sometimes say, wait a minute, I read that, but I know in my spirit, I didn't ingest that. I didn't chew that food. I didn't chew that. When you were a kid, sometimes just to get it through, you just swallow. It's good. But you didn't taste that thing. You just wanted to clean your plate so you can get up and go play. But when you're trying to walk out in the delight of the Lord, you want to taste and see that the Lord is good. You can't taste and see if you just swallowing the peas. All right? So his law, he meditates day and night. And he is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which means you will be established by the currency of the Holy Spirit, of the electricity of his power, and a flow of money, which means you can't hold on to it. It's not currency. Money is money as long as it's held. Currency, it comes through your hands. And if you hold on to one portion of the outpouring, that will be all you get, and soon it will slip through your fingers. But when you let it go and let it pass through, God says, oh, you weren't tight with 10, I'll give you 10,000. You weren't tight with 10,000, I'll give you 10 million. You weren't tight with 10 million, I'll give you 10 billion. Because you ain't holding on to it like that's the last time you'll get it. When you treat relationships like that's the last one you'll get, you'll commit suicide over some knucklehead. But when you know what you're made of, you'll be like, hey, you were a pilgrim passing through, and I'll be all right because I know what I'm made of. I know my market value. You may have thought it wasn't that high, but I'm not going to allow your foolishness to depreciate my value, however. You don't dumb yourself down thinking you're going to pull somebody up. It never works. The streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf, watch this, church, when you in the delight of the Lord, you don't, hear me, you don't fall from grace. You missed that. When you are planted by the currency, not just a tree in a forest somewhere that needs rain to fall down. And that's most of us. We in the forest somewhere. We ain't near the water. We're not near the currency or the move of God. Oh, shower down the latter rain.
That's all you can say because you're not near the currency of God. You're not near the water, the river. You're not near the flow of God. So all you can do is pray for a downpour because that's the only way you'll get it. There's no sprinkler system in the Amazon forest. So if somebody doesn't come there with the water hose, you're not going to get watered. If someone doesn't come and preach to your tree, then you're done. Because it's only going to last for a couple days. But when you are planted by the water, next to the water, you cannot be uprooted because your flow is there. Your source is there. Is that all right? Okay. Not only do you not fall, not only do your leaves not turn brown. I'm getting excited right now. The Bible says, and whatever he or she does, because they're next to the flow of God, always works. It prospers. When you start seeing everything you try to do crumble and fall, that means you're too far from your source. You are too far from the currency of God, from where he's at now. It's not that what he did before doesn't work now. It's just that's not where he's at now. And God does change his mind. I don't know who they try to use that scripture. Oh, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Well, that's true. That this means in his who-ness, he will always be who he is. But Jesus, God, yes, he has changed his mind several times in the Bible because of his word. His word was repeated back to him, and Jesus, God, yes, even repented that he even had plans to destroy Israel. It's in your Bible. God will change his mind with the right person as an advocate between the people and him. So your best bet is to esteem leadership, bless leadership, because they are the link back to graces with God. Don't kill your reconnection, because everybody needs to be reconnected every now and again. Isaiah 54 and 17. Isaiah 54 and 17, when you have it, say amen. Actually, go to 16. I'm going to mess you up real good. Because you know the Lord happens going to a certain scripture. And then he says, yeah, but just glance up a little bit. I know that's your focus, but just glance up a little bit. When I looked over in the previous chapter, I saw something really, really good. Remember, we was talking about the righteousness of the Lord, talking about those who will be blessed or those who are not in the seat of the scornful or with mockers or enjoy being around evil people or people that spread mess. Verse number 14 of Isaiah 54 suggests to us this principle. In righteousness, you'll be established like a tree planted by the water, right? Okay? Tyranny will be far from you, and you will have nothing to fear. So you get to a point where even though you hear people talking trash all around you, it doesn't give you that sinking feeling anymore. Mm-hmm. Then terror will be far removed, and it will not come near you. And if anyone does attack you, which I know I'm being attacked, but I bring it on. It's like, come on, please fuel this. Perpetuate my process. Thank you so much. You're making me more modest. You are making me more chaste. You are making me more patient. You're not hurting me. You're helping me. So attack me, please. So I can show you just how much those stupid darts don't work anymore. Come on, bring them on. You'll never bring them to my face, so bring them on. Praise the Lord. And watch this. If anyone does attack you, watch this. It will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. So you need to let them attack. If you need them to surrender, let them attack. Give them, you need some rope? Oh, here. Want some more rope? Want some rope? Here, take it. Here, you need some more bullets? Yeah? Okay. Want some more? More bullets? Okay. Here, okay. Let me give you these. Okay, and I can shake them in my hand, hand them over to them, and then I can say, go ahead, because, you know, no weapon formed, you know, here's more bullets, but it won't work. But if you want some more, if you want some more dirt on me, I can give you that too. But because I'm forgiven, and because I know my purpose, and because I forgave myself, more importantly, because people know when you're forgiven by God, but they know you haven't forgiven yourself. That's the only thing they can work with, is if they can discern you haven't let you go. But when you can stand up and say, yes, I did it, this is what went down, but I'm a new creature. Praise the Lord. They will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith. So the lock that you see, the person who has the key to it, God created the lock and the person with the key. So the door is not a problem, because he has the lock and the key maker in the palm of his hand. It's not that the door can't open, it's just it's not going to serve your best interest now. But at the appointed time, your door will open. Luke 6 and 38. The last thing people want to see is leadership in any department that is intimidated by a challenge. You have to learn how to have a grounded disposition where you don't react because you hear information. It doesn't count. It doesn't even count if you didn't know about it before someone told you. Because your day was fine until you found this out. So that doesn't count. That's a reaction. That's not proactive. That's a reaction, because you were fine in being proactive with your own personal life until you heard. Then your whole day switches and your whole day is in a funk because of that. And then it's not even the problem. It's not the problem you should be mad at or the person you heard said it. It's the person who brought it to you. That's really where I would dial in on who keeps bringing me stuff that they know is going to make me react a certain way. Luke 6 and 38. When you have it, say amen. Y'all all right? Go to 37. Okay. This is why people say, yes, we have a right, honey. Well, the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit, and we're supposed to be fruit inspectors. I used to hear people say this all the time. Yeah, they tell us don't judge, but the Bible tells us we can judge. Because, honey, we're going to sit at the right hand of God, and we're going to judge everybody. We fruit inspect. We got to make sure that people is in order and circumspect with the word of the Lord. Line upon line, I preach this. The whole time you ghetto. So you going to give me the word with this ghetto and the Lord? Because, honey, not Jesus said. Okay, wait a minute. I cannot even imagine Jesus walking up to a demon-possessed young man. I rebuke that foul. What kind of demon you think? He didn't have to do all that. Leave him. He was cool with it. Stop. And next thing you know, pigs are jumping off of a cliff. Okay, church. Bible says plain and simple, even what you think you know, because you're still wrong. I started this sermon off with, you don't know me. You don't. So the Bible tells us, do not judge. Do not judge. And judging folks because their outcome, watch this, their outcome is important to you because you think that judgment will knock them out of your way. But their soul still belongs to Christ. And I cannot crucify anybody because of your beef. So over the pulpit again, I'm going to tell you, I have to judge the way God tells me to judge, in the way he wants the judgment to come forth. I cannot do that. Then, watch this, church, do not condemn. You're mad at people judging you, but you judge. So if you don't want people to look at you that way, then don't say those types of things about people. And the truth of the matter is, we are. We're doing it. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. That's why y'all tolerate each other at church, but you don't love anyone here. You tolerate each other. You tolerate each other with the Holy Ghost. You tolerate. How can you tolerate your brother and sister who is, whether you like them or not, you have family members you don't like. But if you are Holy Ghost filled, it should not be I'm tolerating somebody. This is somebody that is me on any given day. Everything they're capable of, I'm capable of doing. Judge not. Forgive and you will be forgiven. This is the only way you can bind and loose. You bind, listen, binding and loosing don't mean you bind up your enemy. Binding and loosing means you bind up folks trying to dog your brother and sister. And you loose the blessings of the Lord and protection on them while the darts are coming their way. Oh, who you going after? I had a problem with that fool anyway. Let's get him. Yes. I just needed a reason. Full of the Holy Ghost, but waiting for an opportune moment to get into it? No. As soon as that kind of foolishness comes, well, I don't care to know about that. I really don't care to know about that. That's not expedient for my walk. I don't know why people are talking about me like this, but you purchase Inquirer. You watch Entertainment Tonight. You watch the gossip shows. How can you say you don't want no one gossiping about you, but you keep ingesting the spirit of gossip all the time? Oh, it's quiet up in here. You don't like it, but yet you do like it. You do want to know the tea. See, did everybody, Elder Dukes, let me close out here because I feel they try to jump past, watch this, they try to jump past verse number 37, man of God. They try to jump past verse number 37. See, everybody wants to,
good measure, press down, shake it together, and run it over.
Okay, but wait, boo, you don't get nothing pressed down, shaken together, and running over except a martini if you judging people. You don't get this, he gonna give you good measure, good stuff, blah, blah, blah. And how about, he's not even talking about money. He's talking about forgiveness. If you forgive, God will give you forgiveness back when you wild out. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you use, however you forgive, that's how you'll be forgiven. However you run your mouth, that's how they're going to run their mouth about you. So if you dog them, you will get dogged back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you judge, you will get judged, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's not the devil. This is not the devil. This is a principle. Binding and loosing. If you want stuff to shut down in your life and in your person, then bind up all of the sources that give you information to react to. There's a reason why your spirit's still vexed. There are doors or cracks open from people who are feeding you with stuff that your spirit does not need. Praise the Lord. I know I'm right. Y'all better say something up in here. It's true. I know it's true. I got four claps there. I got four claps there, but I know what's in here. Now, this is what I'm trying to understand, is the next verse, and this is where we close, 39 and 40 through 41. Jesus goes on after that and says, can a blind man lead a blind man? How is somebody giving you advice about money that's always broke? How is somebody giving you car tips with a suspended license? How is somebody telling you about your kids and all the kids locked up? How can a blind man lead a blind man? So if someone is blind in the spirit, you can't have someone around them that they can't trust. Watch this. A student is not above his teacher. But everyone who was fully trained will be like his teacher.